We're going to read today from two passages in Romans. The first comes from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Then about a page later in the Bible, we get to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is God's word for us today. Amen. Happy New Year's. It's New Year's Day. You knew that, right? September 1st, I'm telling you, for many of us, September 1st is New Year's Day. Sarah and I met each other in probably the busiest week ever at Al's Shoe Store in Simcoe this week, because every kid in the world is buying indoor shoes to go back to school. It's New Year's. Yesterday, Carrie Beth was in kindergarten. Today, she is in grade one. It is a time of transition. It is a time of new beginnings. But I gotta say that transition times raise big questions. Not just back to school, all of the transition times in our lives. Whether it's September 1st or January 1st, whether it's the day that you move or when you're getting ready to retire, somebody's birth, somebody's death, a change in your job or in your family, those times in our life raise big questions. And the first of those big questions is, who am I? Everybody at some time or another has to ask that question, and most of us ask it again and again. From the little one, the toddler who's coming and wants to know who they are and finds out that they are their parents' much-loved little one, to somebody at the end of their life looking back and saying, all right, that's great, but who am I? We ask it again and again. And I tell you, this is who you are. You are a wonderful creation of an incredible God. You are created by God who loves you. And no matter what happens to you, and no matter what anyone says, that is who you are. Who am I? Who am I and why am I here? Right? That's the other big one, right? Why was I created? What's my purpose? Why am I walking around in this earth? I hear it sometimes when I'm talking to teenagers who are trying to figure out what it means to be them and how they're supposed to live in this world and what they're supposed to do when they're done high school. And I hear it in nursing homes from people who have said goodbye to too many friends and family members and have lost their mobility and are trying to find out, why am I here? The core reason of why you are here is to respond to the God who created you and loves you. If you accomplish nothing in this whole wide world except to look God in the face and say, I love you back, then you will have accomplished God's purpose in an incredible way. Your purpose, the why are you here, is because God loves you so much that he created you so that you can love him too. This is who you are. This is why you are. But that raises a big problem. Because we read in Romans, and we know from the daily news and our own hearts, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is just like I told the teenagers. We mess up all the time. We hurt ourselves and others. There is stuff in us that is broken. We see it in our hearts. We see it in the world around us. We know it's true. So if the entire purpose that we are here is to turn to God in love and say, I love you, and to respond to God's incredible love for you, then that's a problem, because that sin in us stops us from being able to turn to God with our own hearts. And so here we are, an entire world of people with a big, big, big problem. A problem that is too big for us, that we are helpless because all of us have sinned and all of us have turned away from the God who loves us instead of turning to him. If you read the Bible or the sermon title in the bulletin, it was Becoming a Disciple, Truth and Reconciliation. That truth and reconciliation phrase, we hear it a lot this past few years in Canada. We, our government and people, all kinds of people, have looked into our past and have looked at the truth of how settlers and Indigenous people reacted and have tried to figure out ways that maybe we can begin to reconcile those relationships. That's significant. But do you know what's even more significant? It's the truth of how we as people of every heritage have turned away from the God who created us. And there is nothing that we can do to reconcile that. On our own, we are stuck, helpless, hopeless. But there is one person who is not stuck, not helpless, not hopeless. Because the only human being who ever lived, who went through this life without ever sinning and turning away from God, who every moment of every day looked to Father God and said, I love you, was also God himself, and was Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that God came. God lived. God loved. And Jesus chose to die. Chose to die because he knew that through his death and through his resurrection, we can be reconciled to God. Everything broken in us healed. Everything sinful in us cleaned. Everything that keeps us apart from God fixed. So that we can turn to God through Jesus Christ and say, I love you back. I love you. I believe you. I trust you. That's what we call salvation. That turning to God, that being made right, that being recreated into the person that God always created you to be. Having sin forgiven, brokenness transformed, having even the painful things in our day-to-day life today slowly turn into hope. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character turns into hope through the Holy Spirit that God has put into us. Salvation, beginning now, lasting into eternal life that God has promised to give us. This is the good news. This is God creating you, God loving you, God rescuing you, God wanting you, and you saying, I love you back. That is who you are. That is why you are here. And the last question, big question, that we ask ourselves is, what should I do about it then? What do I do about it? The Bible has a really good answer. What do you do about the fact that God loves you so much that he gave everything to make you his? You become a disciple. You become a Jesus follower. You say, I love you back. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, which means that you believe that Jesus really did that for you. And you trust that God is going to take care of you no matter what. Believe and trust. That's faith. Faith and follow. When you put faith and follow together, you have a disciple. Somebody who believes and trusts in what Jesus has done for them, and someone who chooses to follow Jesus, to love him back in a way that changes who we are and how we live and what we do. And that takes us right square back to baptism. Because baptism is another one of those transition times. It's another one of those new beginning times. Not because it's the moment when you become a Christian. Many people are baptized years and years and years after they put their faith in Jesus and choose to follow him. But baptism is one of those times where we stand up and we say it and we show it. And we say out loud, from this day forward, this is what I believe. This is who I am. This is how I'm going to live. It's a step along the way. It's a part of the journey. And it's one that Jesus calls every one of his faithful followers to. Every disciple, every Jesus follower is called into the water, is called to answer questions like these. Do you believe that God created you and loves you and forgives you and has adopted you to be his son or his daughter? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and came back to life so that you can be forgiven and free? Do you believe that God has put himself, his Holy Spirit, into your heart to help you every day for the rest of your life? And do you choose to follow Jesus, to be God's person from now on? Do you believe? Do you choose? Faith and follow. And when you can answer those questions, then we walk into the water together. And we say and we show, Jesus Christ has washed me and I am clean. Jesus died for me and came back to life to kill everything in me that was wrong and to bring to life everything in me that God created to be right. Jesus Christ has done this to me. I believe and I will follow. And from then on, from now on, we live knowing I am God's child who He loves. I love God back. I have faith. I will follow because of God's help, because of what Jesus has done in me and through me. And then every day after our baptism, it doesn't stop there. We remember our baptism. See, a sermon about baptism and about faith and about becoming a Christian isn't just for people who have never become Christians before or people who have never become baptized. It's for all of the rest of us too. Because every day, when we think back to our own time of being baptized, we say again, I do. I do believe. I do choose to follow. Every step along the way. So if you can answer yes to those four questions, and you desire in your heart to be baptized, I would love to sit and talk with you about that. And we will have a time when you can come to the water and say your I do's. And if you have been baptized 5 years ago or 55 years ago or maybe even longer, then remember your baptism. Like a couple remembering their I do's in good times and in hard times, 56 years later or 85 years later. We remember our do's, our I do's, because it helps us to love every day. We remember our baptism because it helps us to love God back and to follow Him every day. Over the next couple of Sundays, we're going to talk even more about what that following looks like, what it looks like to be a disciple. We stand here September 1st, New Year's Day, a new season, a new beginning. New beginnings, transitions, raise big questions. Who are you? You are God's much-loved child. Why are you here? To turn to God and say, I love you back. What should you do about it? Believe and follow. That's what it's all about. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, You have done so much for us. And it still blows our mind that when we were still ungodly, sinners, lost, broken, that You decided to die for us. Not because we are good, but because You love us. Help us every day to believe that and trust that and to follow You with Your help, no matter what. In Your name we pray. Amen.